time is it? What time is it? Okay, you can look at your watch to answer that question. Or maybe since fewer and fewer people are wearing watches, you could check your smartphone. Today we have ever more ways to check the time. Watches, laptops, sat navs, you name it. But the thing is, they record only one type of time. There's another type of time that no amount of smartphones can know. We need to be aware when we talk about time what kind of time we're talking about. Two Greek words are used to talk about time: chronos time and kairos time. Bear with me here. I'm going to be using those two words a lot. Chronos and kairos. We're probably all more familiar with chronos time. Chronological, linear time. The time that is known by the ticking of the clock. Seconds, minutes, hours. Tick, tock, tick, tock. It can be measured. Then we have kairos time, a Greek word meaning the right or opportune time, a time in which something special happens. There's no exact English translation. It's harder to pin down. Kairos is the fullness of time. There's a sense of urgency. It's not passive. In archery, kairos refers to that small opening through which the archer's arrow has to pass with enough accuracy and enough power to go where it needs to go. In the New Testament, kairos is used to refer to the time when God acts. It's a little bit like God's time zone. One easy way to tell the difference between kairos and chronos: we can't put a number on kairos time. There are over 800, we can put a number on this, references in the Bible to time. It appears that knowing what time it is has always been important. And probably the most familiar passage relating time is the one that we heard this morning from the book of Ecclesiastes. Here's a wee bit of the backstory. The passage we heard read was written after the Babylonian exile, a time and an experience that had taught the Hebrew people that human experience was never, ever going to be a walk in the park. And the writer was a child of his period, a period of catastrophes and despair. Everything is in vain, he repeats many, many times. And our reading lists 28 seasons of life arranged in sharp contrast to one another, beginning with the one that is most fundamentally true: one day we are born into this world, and then, just as inevitably, one day our life in this world will end. Here's the question: do you think the writer is referring to kairos time or chronos time here? My sense is that people hear these verses and think of them in the chronos, linear sense. We think he's talking about a time to be born as a baby, like those birthday cards that have the recipient's year of birth in big letters with things that happened in that particular year. Is that the kind of time he's referring to? Well, I went to the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures to find out. And I discovered that every single time In this passage, the word used for time is kairos, not chronos. Even in his pessimism and his despair, the writer is referring to the demanding, promising, appointed kairos at work in the world. These are not about events that can be scheduled on the calendar in our human timeline. Rather, Ecclesiastes is teaching us that there is a God-appointed time to kill whatever it is within us that keeps our souls from soaring. There is a time, he says, to refrain from embracing whatever it is that is smothering the heart. There is a time to love others so that we can find ourselves at all. A time to lose, to let go of whatever has become our captor in life. There's a time to be born fresh and full again out of old ideas, old forms, old shapes. And there's a time to die, to put an end to things, to stop the carousel and to surrender to the forces of time and trust them. There's a time of war, of struggling against the forces within us that make for our destruction, and a time to heal ourselves from the hurts that weigh us down. There's a time to build up, to construct the new world, so that what we leave behind is better than what we have received. According to the writer of Ecclesiastes, it is knowing what particular time it is that differentiates the foolish from the wise. Some hold on for dear life to that which is actually finished and done. Some refuse to let go of a relationship that is damaging. Others try to breathe new life into, say, a church program that has served its purpose, that has perhaps been around too long because no one is brave enough to bury it. Our task is to discern what time it is in a way that has nothing to do with looking at our watches. And this is not to say that chronos time is bad and kairos time is good, or if we just could hurry up getting all our daily demands out of the way, getting our chronos stuff over and done with, we could get to the kairos time. I remember once driving to a weekend spiritual retreat, and I was running really late, driving faster than I should have been. I was anxious. I had to get that to that retreat center on time so that I could get all centered and calm and at one with God. What is wrong with that picture? It's not about doing different activities, and some are chronos and some are kairos. It is possible to experience worship service after worship service, prayer after prayer, hymn after hymn, anthem after anthem, and experience only chronos time. Watch measure time. Tick tock, tick tock. Kairos time can occur in activity or in stillness or in an unexpected conversation when time seems to stand still. Just because you're enjoying chilling out on the beach or at a retreat doesn't make it kairos time. Just because you're seated in a worship service does not make it kairos time. And too often we believe we are entering into a different time when we set aside time for worship. In reality, We're just using our Chronos time differently. We're not in God's time zone. And I think the best way of getting into God's time zone is to look to Jesus. When Jesus came into our world, Jesus entered our Chronos time with Kairos time. It was a time of possibility, of fulfillment, of promises, God's promises. The old methods, traditions, habits, ways of thinking shift. Jesus' birth was all that and more. Because Christ's birth is the turning point, the fulcrum, the perfect meeting of Kairos and Chronos. And the easiest way I find to visualize this is to think of the shape of the cross. Chronos time is met with Kairos time through Christ. And where they intersect is where we are called to live at all moments of our time, where Kairos and Chronos meet. And this is how we get to participate in God's eternal rhythm. We get to participate with God in eternity. And when I say in eternity, I don't mean that time we think of when our physical life on earth is done. We think of eternity out there. No, eternity is not an endless duration of existence. Rather, at the meeting of Kairos and Chronos, it's a present day reality. Our timing from moment to moment, it's not vanity, it's not in vain. And its deepest meaning lies not ahead where vanity swallows it, but above where eternity affirms it. This is about the richest, abundant quality of life that we are offered. And eternal life is a way of describing life as lived in the unending presence of God now. That's Kairos time. I am aware that I am here at the Abbey at a particular time in its chronological history, as you celebrate the Abbey Church's bicentennial. This celebration is about so much more than the marking of Chronos time, like a big birthday card from 1818. I have no doubt that it is also a Kairos time, a time of possibility, of opportunity, the right time, a time in which something special happens, an active, urgent time. Just like an archer, your minister and Kirk Session and development team are discerning the Kairos time. The time to act with accuracy and sufficient power to move this community kingdomward. To move in order to keep this community living at that sweet spot on the cross, because in Kairos time, the view from 1818 will not do, and the status quo is not an option. Kairos time is asking God to be our vision today. May you be blessed with the wisdom to know what kind of time it is. May your faith allow you to accept the possibility that you have been placed here specifically, like Esther, for such a time as this, as part of God's overall magnificent providential plan. As the poet Ted Loder says, O God of fire and freedom, deliver us from our bondage to what can be counted, and go with us into a new exodus towards what counts, but can only be measured in people coming together for the sake of a kingdom coming in glory. Oh, that we would put all our time in God's hands. Kairos time, in the name of the one who came as Kairos in the flesh. Amen.